Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. Our producer this morning is Ron Savage. So when you call in, Ron will be greeting you, a little unfamiliar voice to some of you on the other end of the phone. And we will be calling in because we are giving away a beautiful CVA muzzleloader at the end of the month. And muzzleloader season's coming up this coming week, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think that's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And I will be hunting with my CVA muzzleloader, one of them. I own several. I like muzzleloader hunting, and I probably have more muzzleloaders in my possession than anything else. I don't know. I've taken some really, really nice deer with the muzzleloader, and it's just a fun time to be out there, and I enjoy it. I am probably, in order of preference, just because of my heritage, my hunting heritage, probably a rifle hunter first, followed by muzzleloader, followed by shotgun, followed by traditional bow, recurve, followed by compound bow, followed by crossbow. Now, that may seem funny. I use the crossbow during archery season more so than anything, and it's only because I don't dedicate enough time to practicing with the compound or the traditional bow. Shoot them both well. I just don't feel confident in taking a shot at an animal unless I know exactly where that arrow is going to hit. The crossbow offers me that opportunity. And speaking of which, I had the crossbow in the stand last night. I was invited to a property in Dorchester County, and it is absolutely amazing the difference between one side of the road and the other. Now, you know we've had a full moon here. We're having a full moon. And the tides are predicted to be very high. And Robin tells me they're high everywhere. I drove through water getting to the property yesterday in Dorchester County. We're sick of deer hunting now. Drove through more than a mile of water across the road, and in some places it was fairly high across the road. I mean, you know, a couple of inches deep, where I could see the minnows swimming in the water on the road and the snakes crossing and that type of thing. When I got to the property, not on the bay side, on the opposite side, not on the marsh side, but I mean, it's normally full of marsh. It was bone dry. And when I say bone dry, I mean the 4-foot ditches along the edges of the Phragmites marsh were bone dry, normally filled with water. The platforms that were built to keep the feeders, you know, keep the corn up out of the water, the 10-by-10 platforms that the feeders sit on, were sitting on bare ground and no water around them anywhere. Last year, the water was almost level with the tops of some of these platforms. The marsh last year, where we took the Argo in 2 feet of water to check on a sika deer that I wound up missing, there's no water. There's no water in that shooting lane. It's dry. It's dry as a bone. I've never seen anything like that. One of my friends was saying that he hunts in the flooded timbers. He was able to see sika deer stags traveling in these dry ditches and popping up out of the brush. And he turned to look, and they'd be gone. And they're back down in the ditch, using the ditches as a highway. Using the ditches as a travel lane, which is probably what they did when there was water in them. But now that they're dry, they're easier to see. you know, and you can walk out there where the woods were flooded or the marsh was flooded. You can walk out there and you can see the structure. You can see the deer trails. You can see everything that you couldn't see that was underwater. So it's a great opportunity for your strategy. You know, you can see trails, you can see places where the deer travel and so forth. You can establish a new stand if you want. And, you know, you may have to get there through the water in the wintertime or whenever it starts to rain again, but it was pretty spectacular. So let's get to the hunt. Got in the stand about 3 o'clock, a little before. And, you know, the stand setup is a shooting house, basically. And there's a stand, there's a feeder at 77 yards on an open road, so to speak. And then there's a feeder next to the stand at 20 yards. So it's very easy to bow hunt out of that stand. And I like that stand. And I've seen some really nice deer in that stand. We've taken some deer on the far feeder, but not necessarily next to us. So about, 4 o'clock, a nice mature female sika deer, a hind is what they're called. A hind came in and jumped up on the platform, fed around the platform, and there was no corn. The feeder hadn't gone off. Feeder goes off about 6:15, something like that. Feeder hadn't gone off, but she found enough there to glean a little bit, and off she went. And she went up to the other. They have this trail through the woods that they leave one feeder, the close feeder, and go to the far feeder, and vice versa. They'll leave the far feeder and come to the close feeder. So I had a gray squirrel. I had a gray squirrel sitting on the edge of the platform. He looked like a guy waiting for a bus. He's sitting on the edge of the platform going, man, I wonder when that corn's going to go off. I wonder when that feeder's going to go off. He just sat there. He was very comical, looking away from the feeder, back to it like, yeah, hey, well, you know, I'm just going to hang out here for a little bit. Feeder goes off, feeder will go off. And then, you know, that it was a gray squirrel, wasn't a Delmarva, although we've had big Delmarva fox squirrels there and raccoons and every other type of wildlife. So anyway, there. My hunt's made because I've got a sika deer at when she fed in front of the platform, she was at 15 yards. Okay. So my hunt's successful. If I would wanted to take that deer, I could have taken it. So that's what makes a successful hunt for me. If I can take the animal and choose not to, I'm happy. Well, not long after, a hind and a fawn came in. Same thing. Dry platform. They fed around. They picked a little corn out of the dirt and off the platform that had been left over. And they went out through the woods, headed towards the other feeder, and met up with the first hind. So all three of them there are socializing a little bit at about 35 yards. And all of a sudden, they took off. Bonk, bonk, bonk. A sika deer will hop. Like a mule deer. If you've ever seen a mule deer hop, well, that's what a sika deer does. They hop, bump, 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 and out through the woods they went. I have no idea what spooked them. It wasn't me. They weren't getting my scent. So off they went. So about 6 o'clock, way up, probably 300 yards, a stag and a hind. Came out of the left side of the woods onto this trail, and they're coming towards me. And this is a pretty wide area, pretty wide cleared area. And they're coming towards me, and he's chasing her. He's bumping her. She's moving ahead of him. She's doing the jumping thing, and he's just got his nose down, and he's, you know, head up, nose down. He's pushing her. Get to the far feeder at 77 yards, and she goes to the feeder, he goes to the feeder, and then all of a sudden he turns around and goes back in the woods to the left. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? Is he going in there to get in a fight, or what's he going to do? Just a little spike, probably 4 inches, you know. He turns around and comes out with another hind. So this guy, this little spike, he's pretty, you know, he's pretty aggressive. He's gathering his harem, so to speak. So they feed a little bit. Then they come through the woods, and now they come around my 20-yard feeder, and he chases them all around the platform, and off they go. Gone. Okay. So now I've seen a total of, I want to say six deer, but I think that second hind that he picked up was that first hind that I saw. So let's make it five deer total all night at this point. Now the feeder goes off, 6:15. Boom. Here comes the three, the spike and the two does. And they're on the platform for 10 minutes. They turn around. The other feeder goes off 5 minutes later, the far one. Off through the woods they go. Now they're on the platform out there at 70 yards. So I'm having a good night. I'm not shooting anything, but these deer are all looking around. They're all looking over their shoulder, behind them, in the woods, heads up, ears cocked. So I know there's other deer around. Is it a stag? Is it the stag I want? I don't know. Never did get to see it. But I just enjoyed watching those animals. And then right at the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes of legal shooting time, the doe and the fawn came back in on my platform. They fed for a few minutes and then off to the far feeder they went. So I tell you, it was a great night in the woods. I didn't see a raccoon. I didn't see a Delmarva fox squirrel. Very few birds, but sick of deer that were entertaining enough to keep me interested for a long time and keep me on edge. So I had a good night. That was my hunt yesterday. So one of the other fellas, the landowner actually, shot a coyote deep in Dorchester County on the marsh, the dry marsh, that had chased that came out two coyotes, and he shot one of them. Couldn't get a shot at the other. Came out on the same trail that a five-point stag had come out on earlier. He didn't get a shot at the stag. It stayed a little bit too much in the phragmitis for him to take a shot. But the coyotes came into the open, and he shot one of the coyotes. Not a lot of bugling activity. They're kind of, I don't know if it's the warmer weather or what, but the night before in the cool night and the full moon, I guess the Sitka stags were just bugling all night long. So that's quite something to hear. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to tell you folks about our buddies at Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer, and they're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, look, if you need an upgrade on your muzzleloader, I think you'll take a look. They have a competitor to our sponsor, CVA, and we're giving the CVA muzzleloader away at the end of this month. So you want to get your phone call in here shortly, and I'll tell you more details when we come out of this commercial break. But they carry all the models of the Thompson Center muzzleloaders, the Pro Hunter FX, the Impact, the Triumph Bone Collector, the Encore, and the new Strike. So you want to take a look at that at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They have the whole wall full of muzzleloader accessories, all the little stuff you need to go with your muzzleloader. They've got the black powder, they've got the pellets and different types of substitute black powder that you like, and they'll be more than glad to show you how all that works. Cleaning supplies and all that stuff, all at Clyde Sports Shop. So we'd like you to check that out at the address mentioned, and the phone number is 410-242-6108. You can see them on ClydeSports.com, too, if you like. Gunsmithing, scope mounting, firearms, Browning license, Browning firearms, licenses, handguns, you name it, Clyde Sports Shop has it. 410-242-6108.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, care and nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex brand bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bed liner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Chesapeake Outdoors is the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And why do I say that? Because they've got everything that hunters and anglers could need, want, or imagine. Now, if you go by there today, you're going to see a sign that says all tree stands 20% off. They've got a lot of different tree stands. They've got climbers. They've got lock-ons. They've got ladder stands. And they've got the X-stand single ladder that I'm thinking about investing in for one of the properties that I have permission to hunt. And it is a great stand. It's got a claw that locks around the tree. Okay, so it locks around the tree on your way up. Now, I'll talk a little bit about safety here when we're done, but Chesapeake Outdoors also carries the Matthews bows, including the new Vertix, the Mission crossbows, made by Matthews, of course, the Mission Sub 1 XR, and the Raven. I was talking to John, the manager, the other day, and he said, I can't believe the amount of Raven crossbows we are putting in the hands of hunters, because they're doing their research, they know what they want, they come in, they save up, and they get themselves a Raven R26 or R29 crossbow. Couple Hoyts left on the rack if you would like to pick up a great compound bow, a Hoyt bow at a good price. 10-point Excalibur Carbon Express crossbows. And with the muzzleloader season coming up, again, an entire wall of accessories at Chesapeake Outdoors for muzzleloaders. They carry the Thompson Center brand and our buddies at CVA. Costa coolers, Yeti sunglasses. Just to see if you're paying attention. A large selection of waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot gear, and camo camouflage apparel for all seasons, all at Chesapeake Outdoors. Where is this wonderful place? Just across the Bay Bridge from the Western Shore. Or if you're on the Eastern Shore, it's exit 39B Dominion Road on Kent Island, or just off Route 18 if you want to get there that way, in Chester. 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com. And Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11.
Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. We are back. I wanted to talk. Let's talk to Chuck in Hampstead. But before we do that, I want to tell you, it's time to call in. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We're giving away a great muzzleloader at the end of the month. The last Saturday of the month, we always pull the ticket for the muzzleloader. And we give it away, one in October, one in November, one in December. So annoy Ron with your calls. He'll take your first name, or take first and last name and your phone number. And then part of the contest is you got to go on the air with me and just say hi if you want. But now we're going to see if Chuck in Hampstead wants to talk about deer hunting. Morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. You had a pretty successful night.
I had a wonderful night. Even though I never fired a round, I unleashed an arrow. You know, I had a great time. Great time. Well, you were part of the part of it, because you and I were texting back and forth when you got your deer last night. You were pretty excited about that, and so was I.
Yeah, well, it was meat for the freezer. It was only a spike. I didn't really want to waste a buck tag, but
right.
Last time I was up there earlier in the week, I saw the same spike come into my corn twice.
Right.
And all these, and he just ate and ate and ate and ate and ate.
Oh, so you're trying to conserve corn.
Yeah. Well, when he came in the first time, he came, you know, about 10, 15 minutes, stood there and ate. Then he said, well, that's enough. I think I'm going to go on or off again. So he went down and didn't get off the property. I could see him through the brush.
Yeah.
He must have burped and had more room, because then he came back to the corn.
Well, you know what? You have a nice corn-fed veal there, if you want to call it that. So, yeah, you'll be all right, man. You'll be all right. So
yesterday he came in the opposite way. He came down the hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're familiar, because you were up there scouting for bear.
I was, and I'll talk about my Wednesday bear scouting. That's for sure. So.
And he came down the hill.
Wow!
And you know where the little path comes off the main trail where my blind is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went into the brush on the other side of the trail.
Right.
And I don't really shoot. I can't shoot. Bow, I don't shoot that way, just because I have more camouflage out to block my movement.
Right.
But I figured he was going to come around to the corn anyway, and he did. He came out about 20 yards in the woods, which is into my food plot. Came back to the corn feeder and started eating again.
Okay.
And I said, "That's it, buddy. I got to get something for the freezer, and you're going to stop eating my corn."
Well, you made a good shot on him. So
yeah, it was good. Took off the top of his heart.
Well, that's the goal right there.
Yeah, went 20 yards.
Piled up.
I heard him crash. So,
yeah.
So
yep. I don't like those long tracking jobs.
No. So you know, I called Bob and. To come down and help me recover. And while I'm standing or sitting alongside the trail, they were blown like crazy behind me.
Oh, the deer? Yeah.
On the neighbor's property. They were just going crazy. Couldn't figure out what I was.
Yep.
But when I dropped my deer off last night at a sponsor, M&G processing,
mm-hmm.
I met another hunter who was dropping off a deer mm-hmm. in Cecil County.
Really?
Yeah, he lives in Hampstead.
Oh, so he hunted in Cecil County. I got it.
Yeah. So he had pictures of, while he was hunting yesterday, of a bear that came into the bottom of his tree stand and just stayed there.
In Cecil County?
Yes.
Interesting. Yep. Well, I'll be up there this week. Maybe I'll get to see one. So.
Yeah, he I guess it sort of unnerved him a little bit, because... you know, because he had never seen one before, but.
All right.
But the guy was a nice guy, because he helped me get my deer into the refrigerator. So
nice, so. Very good.
Hopefully, he's a listener now, because I told him to start listening to the show.
Well, good. Maybe he'll call in. Maybe get online for the muzzleloader. So we got a lot of calls stacked up,
all
Mr.
Right,
Chuck.
Well,
I'll let you go.
Way.
Thank you, buddy.
Yep. See you later.
Yep. Thanks. Jesse Centerville. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, good morning. Doing fine. And yourself?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say, I listened to your story about watching the deer coming up to the platform and trucking through the water. And I tell you, I enjoy that kind of stuff, just sitting there watching as much as I do getting the deer.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, me too.
It is absolutely phenomenal sometimes just to see. Like, I had two little, yearlings, and they would run both right in front of me. They'd stop, look around, and run another about halfway down the field, and then run back. And it was like they were practicing, getting away from stuff or something. I don't know.
Yep, I've seen sikkadeer do that. I've seen whitetails do that. And the sikkadeer are pretty particularly funny to watch because they really romp and jump and everything else. Yeah. So, yep.
There, I don't know what was going on that day otherwise, because I watched that for a good half hour, and they were, I don't know if they would smell me and say, well, this is what it smells like, now we're supposed to run, you know?
Right, exactly. Could be.
But I just, when you were talking about that, watching them and watching them moving all around, it just reminded me of that, you know?
Exactly. Yes, sir. Well, thank you for sharing, Jesse. Are you in the contest?
Yes, I'm in the contest, and my brother and I, we're getting ready to go into the woods here. We're hunting up in public lands today over in Queen Anne's County. And,
good. Enjoy that.
That's right. We'll sit back and enjoy. So you have a good day yourself.
Thanks, Jesse. Take care, buddy.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Walter in Centerville, another Eastern Shore caller. How you doing, Walter?
Yeah, that was my brother you were just talking to, so don't believe anything he says.
Oh. Okay, then.
Yeah, we are just about to go in the woods.
Got it.
That's pretty cool.
Cool.
I was just wondering about, you were talking about coyotes, but what about feral hogs? Are they coming down this way too?
I don't think so. I hope not.
Yeah, really?
I hope not.
I don't really need that.
No, nobody needs the feral hogs. I don't know that we have that many of them in Maryland. I'd heard there were some on Taylor's Island at one point. I don't know if we can back that up. I don't know if there's any out west. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to fish down on the north branch of the Potomac, just over the line in Springfield, West Virginia. And there was a hog farmer down there. Those hogs were right along the river, you know, and I guarantee you that he was out hunting hogs, you know, because they were not in a very good enclosure, and they just looked rank. You know what I mean? And they looked rank. And that was when I was a kid. I'm talking 50 years ago. I'm like, and so I'm thinking, if any of those guys ever lost any hogs, you know, they're out there. We just haven't seen them. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Also, one other question, though. I've always had a judgment call on how old a deer would have to be to survive if I shoot the mama.
Okay.
What's your opinion on that?
As long as they're weaned.
Okay, so if they're following mama, then they should be able to survive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. If the fawn is weaned, I'm not sure how long that takes, but let's give it 3 months. If a fawn is born in August, which is late, September, October, November, by deer season, they're ready to go. You understand a fawn becomes sexually mature at 6 months.
No, I didn't realize that.
So if a fawn is born in May, by the end of the year, they're all ready to breed.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, that's how that works.
So,
okay. Yeah, so, but once that little fawn last night with the doe that came in, just, you know, on the platform with mom and was running away from mom, and mom was following her. And then when they got together, I saw the fawn put her head underneath like she wanted to get a drink of milk. And mom just said, I'm sorry, the tap's dry, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I think mom said, didn't you just have corn? Get back over there if you want something
exactly.
to eat, you know. So
I figured I'd let a few of them go because I'd rather, catch them the next time around.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a good idea. If you're going to take a bigger deer, take the mom, and then the young ones will be on their own. I mean, what they've learned to eat, they've learned well. You know, that it's a real short learning curve from milk to hard food. So there you go.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Walter.
Take it easy.
Good luck today. Let us know what you do.
Okay.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Miss Fran, where you been, girl? Fran?
Hello. Alan.
Yeah, I thought I was on line four with Fran.
Oh, Alan, this is John. How are you?
I'm good, John. Sorry, Fran. I thought you were Fran.
Maybe she's next. I don't know.
Well, no, yeah. I'm on line four, and Fran is on line one. So maybe we lost Fran and you popped in the spot. What's up, John?
Just some comments on what you had before. You mentioned your favorite weapons in order.
I did.
Thought I'd give you mine.
Okay.
Compound bow, handgun, black powder, and then the high power rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it usually works out, if I get a deer with a bow,
yeah,
then I'll use the handgun.
Nice.
Or, you know, for the regular season.
Sure.
If I don't get one with the bow, then I'll go to the high power.
We get in too many fights over equipment in the hunting community. Oh, that guy's using a crossbow. He's gonna do this or he's gonna do that. Or oh, that guy's using a rifle.
I used to call you every year and ask you if a crossbow is really a bow, but I don't do that anymore because I think this is probably my last year for compound, and then I'm going to have to switch to crossbow just because of shoulder strength.
Uh-huh. So, that's why I switched.
I remember you saying it.
Yeah, I mean, I love and now that I got some strength back in my shoulders, and you know they're both working, I've got a nice compound bow, and when I have an opportunity to shoot it and practice with it, then I will take it in the field. But it's a nice bow, and it shoots very well. And I've taken a deer or two with it, so you know, in the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm happy with the way it shoots and with the way I shoot it, but I will tell you, I'm moving more and more when I do a vertical bow. I'm moving more and more towards the recurve. They're just lighter. They're easier to carry. They're faster to reload. I mean, not all the technology. You just you just shoot it naturally and
I had an old root left hand recurve. That was one of my favorite bows.
You still have it?
But you know, somewhere along the line, it's somewhere, but I have no idea where it is.
Yeah, I've got a buddy that collects left-hand recurves, so.
Oh.
Yep, he's a left-hander, so.
Maybe I'll dig it up. Hey, on another subject, you were talking about how dry it is. We hunt Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
And we're usually in hip boots.
Yeah, yep.
You know, tall boots, and you can go in there in tennis shoes.
Yep.
There's no water at all.
None.
And the only drawback that we've seen this year more than in the past, there's a ton of chiggers. And everybody that went out got tore up.
So, yeah, well, I put the Sawyers on the boots and on the pant legs. So
the permethrin.
Yeah, permethrin.
Yeah. Did the same thing. But
yep. There's only a couple of them out there, and Sawyers is the best and comes recommended by everybody that I hunt with and talk to. Say, yeah, it comes in a yellow spray bottle or yellow.
Yep.
Like, yeah, okay. It does it look like this? Pull it out of the back of my truck. Yeah, that's the stuff right there. I said, yeah, I use that a lot. So
that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, the yellow bottle.
Yep, the yellow bottle.
I think what the problem was is it was leather boots, and then once we switched to the rubber, you know, boots, everybody was okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But I mean, anyway. I spray the boots. I spray my pants from the knees down. And, you know, that stuff you got to leave dry on clothing. You cannot spray that on your person. You know,
exactly.
Don't. Yeah. So, and even I'll spray my shirt, you know, like around the back of the neck and around the cuffs. So, you know, I don't want any ticks on me. Thank you. So.
Yeah. Well, we were in there clearing out.
Yeah,
you know, getting ready for the season. So we were more into it than we would have normally been
right.
We were hunting. So I think that's why we got hit.
Yep.
But anyway.
All right, buddy. Got to go.
Good luck in the rest of your season. Thanks.
Thank you. You too. Well, you'll be hearing about it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Yep, bye.
Fran in Baltimore, what'd you do, switch gears on me, girl?
No, I'm still here. Ron is still playing around.
No, Ron's messing around. Ron's the guy.
Yes, first of all, I want to say good morning, and
morning.
I want to thank you for telling your hunting stories.
Oh.
I always love to hear how the hunt went and what you saw, and I enjoy that. Also, I want to just for a minute touch back on two or three shows back.
Okay.
Where you were discussing how do people feel about that proposal for hunting on private land as well as public land, and how did they feel about it.
You mean Chesapeake Forest land?
Yeah, how did they feel about the new one?
Okay.
You know, the new proposal.
Yep.
Let me say this. I was feeling a little low in spirit in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I heard you say that there were 250 clubs.
Yes.
I was like, I sat up on the sofa and I thought, 250? And I thought to myself, now wait a minute. If there's only four members per club, that's 1,000 hunters. That, you know, that they elected Bill Miles to represent them
right.
as their advocate. I said, so when he goes in, he's going to have at least 1,000, 3,000, who knows, members of those clubs backing him.
Well,
said,
you know,
that'll be impressive.
You know the sad part of that?
What?
There are only about 70 of those 250 clubs that have gotten involved. And the only reason only 70 of those clubs have gotten involved is because we had a meeting at the Linkwood Fire Hall back in, I don't know when it was, but when Bill was introduced and the clubs voted. And there is no way for the Chesapeake Forest Alliance to reach all those clubs because the list will not be released by DNR Forestry Service or DNR Wildlife and Heritage Service.
Mm-hmm.
They will not release it.
Well, even so, he was able, which not surprised, was able to go in, and I could just imagine hear him saying, this is totally unacceptable, we're going to get rid of it and start from scratch something that's more acceptable to both sides.
Well, that was a lot of that was a result of the public comment and a lot of result of the efforts of Bill Miles and the CFA.
Right.
And he's written an article for the Quarterly, and I will read his closing statement. In the final analysis, the outcry heard in June was silenced by September. Special word of gratitude is owed to Eastern Shore Native DNR Secretary Jeannie Hadaway Riccio for having been amicably responsive to its concerns. What has been achieved is no less than remarkable. Ideally, and one hoped for by the Alliance, is that when similar disagreements manifest themselves in the future, and most assuredly they will, what happened between June and September 2019 will serve as a model worthy of emulation for conflict resolution.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who are members or officers in one of those 250 hunt clubs with the Chesapeake Forest Alliance, you need to contact the Alliance. All right? And you must weigh in on the new draft, what are they calling it? The new revised leasing agreement, the policy that they're putting in place by October 17th. That is the deadline. Okay. And the comments to cement this new agreement, should weigh towards the favorable side. Should
right.
weigh towards the favorable side.
Right.
Okay. That's how that should work. There's 400 and some thousand public acres available for public hunting.
Right.
Chesapeake Forest lands is 78,000, and half of that is public and half of that is leased.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And that's only over six counties. So the clubs that are involved, if you're a member, you've got to weigh in on this new agreement and put your question, you know, put your comments out there, and let's hope they weigh favorably on the side of accepting this new agreement. And I'll get, if I have time, I'll get into that a little bit more detail.
Well, they should compare it to the last one.
Oh, my gosh. You're not
Please.
Kidding. Yeah, you're not kidding.
You know, I mean, I thought to myself, boy, that last one had like a what I felt kind of like a mean streak in it.
But right.
Anyway, that's another story. But I just want to say that real quick. And thank you for informing us of what's out there and
yes,
what
indeed.
Possibilities. And I think it's a start.
We do our best, bud. We do our best, friend.
And I appreciate that. It makes me want to get up and, in my own personal life and fight again.
You got it.
All right,
friend. Are you in on the muzzleloader contest?
Yes.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, girl. Appreciate the call. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
There she goes. I'll tell you, that is a special woman right there. It is indeed. Do you know Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge not only has fantastic donuts, but they do bake pastries and cookies and bread as well? And I took a picture of the lunch menu from last week. It is pretty special. I mean, they've got some great lunches. Now, you can get a breakfast sandwich or just regular breakfast if you want every day from 6 to 11 and all day Saturday. And, you know, after your morning hunt from 11 till 2, you can get that beautiful, tasty lunch right there if you want. But I can't wait to stop there again because I like their stuff. To find Bay Country Bakery, do what I do. Just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery and the chocolate donut on the highway sign. Now, that's 2951 Coastal Highway, Route 50, headed east towards Ocean City. It's on the other side of Cambridge. And I always recommend that you think big donut. Visit their website, like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by and say hello at Bay Country Bakery. Yes, indeed. Get a donut. Get a nice sandwich or, you know, a fresh cup of hot coffee. Sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. 20% off of all tree stands at Chesapeake Outdoors. Climbers, lock-ons, ladders. Where is this first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers? Well, Chesapeake Outdoors is located in Chester, Maryland, just off Route 50, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, right there in Ken Island. And their phone number is 410-604-2500. They carry Remington, Shop of Shotguns. They're not a big gun dealer, but they got, you know, they have enough to help you out. They'll order anything, special order if you like. Thompson Center muzzleloaders, CVA muzzleloaders, and a full line of accessories. Compound Bows by Matthews. They make the Vertex. That's the new one that everybody wants. Mission Crossbows, Raven R26 and R29. And then they've got 10-point Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett, a price for everyone on a crossbow if you like. Custom arrows, bow tuning by Pete Morris, my buddy. Accessories installed as well. Camouflage apparel for all seasons. And thousands of accessories for bows and muzzleloaders and firearms as well. Waterfowl calls and decoys and steel shot and gear and camo. Costa sunglasses. Yeti coolers. All at Chesapeake Outdoors, and don't forget 20% off all the tree stands as well. 410-604-2500, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Ken Island. They'll be glad to help you and hook you up with whatever you need for the outdoors.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and Northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner, and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North. Route 146, turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com, and Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Way down south of the Mason-Dixon, there's a man who's really fixin' to match those taters in his bin with possum meat. And that ain't tin. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum up a tree. Somewhere up in one of them saplings, possum laughing at me. Hound dog bayin', know what he's saying, possum on a limb. He done hit in one of them saplings, and I'll get even with him. Get a going, feet, gotta run, get my gun, and beat it over yonder to the holler. Moon is shining bright on the treetops tonight. The possum ain't far, thar yar thar. Six tall, slim, slick, sycamore saplings. Possum on the loose. He's been stealing.
You like that one, Ron? Yeah, Phil Harris. Yeah, how about that? Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Well, I love that song.
Yeah, man, Phil Harris.
Are you knowledgeable? No, possums eat. Are they voracious eaters of ticks?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. We need more.
That's a good thing. I was just speaking with Ron Savage and. Listening to your story, what your opening story about just, you know, watching the wildlife. Mm-hmm. And I live here in, you could call it Columbia, Maryland.
Okay.
And I don't know.
What do you call it?
I'm in Ellicott City.
Okay.
And, you know, here in Howard County, if there's a piece of land that's, you know, 10 feet by 10 feet wide, their idea is to get rid of it and build a tower.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, but I feel so blessed. I'm in this place called Dorsey Place. I'm nestled in between 108 and 32. I can throw a stone and hit Centennial Lake.
Right.
But out back, I've got this barred owl.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard those. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, that's exactly what they do. Like, who cooks for you?
I know. Do you hear them chuckle? You ever hear them chuckle back and
forth?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they've got all sorts of...
That's one of my favorite sounds in the woods.
Oh, my goodness. It just drives... I love it. And finally, you know, I have a little bit of a creek that kind of runs out back. It must be, I don't know, something that has to do with Centennial, with marshland.
Right.
And, he hangs around there probably looking for game. And I've spotted him. I swear that thing has got to be the size of a wild turkey.
Not quite, but... They're good size. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love them. Their faces, I love their faces. They say that head is like a torrent. It can turn like something like 270 degrees from left to right.
And, exactly.
And they say that I watched this one special. They measured the sounds of all these different birds and the noise levels of their wings, and the owls is. It's just about virtually silent.
Exactly.
And they say when they hit their prey, they almost like kill it instantly from the knockout, from the concussion.
Exactly right. Yes, indeed.
But anyhow, it's a pleasure speaking with you. It always is. And
Nice talking with you.
Wish me luck. I've never owned a muzzle loader, but if I win it, I'll give it to you so you can add it to your collection.
Perfect. we'll pass it on.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. I guess so. That was a barred owl that's available on YouTube. If you like, you can listen to him on there all day long. Right? Ron, we got to get out of here, right? It's time. Yeah. So, all right, folks, listen, we'll be back after the news. And I want to tell you about scouting for bears in Frederick County and what was out there and what we saw. All right. You all have a wonderful day. If you got to leave us now, get in the woods. We understand. That's why we do this show as early as we do. We want you to listen when you're on your way to the woods or on your way to the duck blind or on your way to the boat launch, you know, or in your crabbing boat or on your kayak or in your tree stand or wherever you listen to the Outdoors and Radio Show on the WCBM 680 app or on your computer at home. Or on your AM radio.
Wildfire.